Amen. I love that last song. Just lays the gospel out, doesn't it? And Jesus is the one who changes lives. He's the one who makes us new, and he gives us hope for tomorrow. He helps us deal with the stuff in our life that doesn't honor him. And I'm so grateful for that. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that we have to live in every day. It's the same power that gives us victory over sin. It's the same power that changes us from the old us to the new us. It's the same power that helps us deal with the little stuff that wants to hang on, like those hanging chads, you know. There's some stuff just hangs on. And the power of the gospel helps us deal with that stuff. Well, I'm really thrilled to have the Coopers part of our church family. If you are part of Noonan, you know recently, I don't know exactly when it was, some months back, Mark Cooper was promoted to assistant police chief, and we're just privileged to have him in our church family. And I've been talking with Mark some about these events that's coming to our city, to our community, on April the 21st. And I asked Mark if he would come, and we could just chat about it, because I think this is a spiritual issue. I think it's a church issue, and I know that Mark and the guys that's working with him would really appreciate us praying with them, walking with them through this experience. It would help us to have a better understanding of what's going on. So that's kind of what I was thinking, Mark. If you could just, first of all, there may be some who really don't have a clue what I'm talking about. So tell us what's going on April the 21st.
Well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to come up here and talk about this. Unfortunately, and I say that very strongly, unfortunately, neo-Nazi National Socialist Movement has filed for a permit and received it to hold a rally on April 21st at one of our city parks. We don't want them to come to Noonan, but we kind of have to let them come in. So with that comes not only 50 to 100, maybe more, of one side of a political issue that's going to draw an unknown number of people on the anti-protest side. We are in the midst of trying to coordinate how we're going to keep them from hurting each other, hurting our town and city, and then hopefully not giving us a reputation of that we support this or that we want this.
So we potentially have two groups. We have the white supremacist kind of group, and then we have the people who are against the white supremacists. And these are two organized groups, and for some reason they've chosen to converge on Noonan. Now, none of them are from Noonan, we assume.
If anybody's a member of it from Noonan, it's not the leadership, it's not the people that are organized, the coordinated effort on both sides of this mm-hmm. fence.
You know, for us sitting out here, I couldn't help but say, so why are we letting them come?
Unfortunately, we have to. There's this pesky little thing called the First Amendment of the United States Constitution.
It's pesky now unless you want to say something. Then we're saying, thank
right.
God for the and First Amendment, right?
All right. It depends on who's throwing what opinion around, I guess, is a better way to say it. There's case law that says we have to let them come as long as they file for a peaceful protest. There's not one group in the country that will put down, we're going to come to your town and riot. If they said that on the permit application, we would deny it. Unfortunately, they know how. They have attorneys. They know how to fill these permits out. And they filed for a peaceful permit. And we have to give them. We know that that's not their effort.
Right.
And so we have a coordinated effort on our end. We have over 500 law enforcement officers coming. That is not just Noonan and Coweta County. That's the state. There's federal agencies involved in this at this point, and I assume that that'll grow. We have over 400 other public safety officials that'll be involved in this to help us protect the town and our citizens and even them. But each one of us that wears a badge in some capacity swore that we would die for the effort of protecting the First Amendment and all the amendments. So we have to give them security.
So what are your concerns then about this day? Obviously, there is some precedence. We can't help but think of Charlottesville and other places. So what are your concerns?
Obviously, Charlottesville is the one that jumps out at us that we're trying to plan around, lessons learned kind of thing. Our biggest concern is that this does turn into a major riot event, or even just a big brawl in the middle of Greenville Street, or move around the Court Square area. That's the biggest concern for us. The second biggest concern is the safety of all of our people that are involved. And the third is the safety of, and not necessarily in this order, but the third would be the citizenry, who really has nothing to do with this other than that we live here. Which is why we have publicly said, we don't want you to come to the Court Square that day. Please do not come downtown. We cannot guarantee your safety. There are other events going on that we want you to participate in and express your voices. Just don't do it on Greenville Street at South City intersection that day. Unfortunately, if you come down there, you're going to be placed with the anti-protesters. We don't have room for a neutral group and an anti-group and the group that filed for the permit. We only have two sections. You're going to end up in one of them. And if this goes down, your safety cannot be guaranteed. And number two, if we have to start using riot control agents, you will be exposed. So we ask that you don't come.
Now, we talked about the fact that this is not just two groups that hate each other converging on Noonan. This is not just a social issue, and it's not just a political issue. This is a spiritual issue. And we need to see it as such and understand our role in this and our responsibility of participating without being down there. Now, I know that there has been some effort to put together a meeting, not downtown, but in another church, to pray and to really just to ask the Lord to bring unity in our community and unity in our nation. You're a little more involved in that. I have talked with Jimmy Patterson some, and I know there's some things going on. Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm actually going to go first to the day before. Okay. On Friday, April 20th, Miss Deborah Harris is setting up a prayer session of some sort at the park that's going to be used on Saturday. The more details will come out about that later on. And if you want to participate in that, the security measures will already be in place for Saturday, and that would be fine. On Saturday itself at 3 p.m., Pastor Tamarcus Cook at St. Smyrna Baptist Church out on the west end of town, it's on Heary Road, himself and Pastor Jimmy Patterson from First Baptist Church Noonan are combining efforts at our request to bring any Christian that wants to counter-protest this to St. Smyrna Baptist Church on Heary Road at that time. They'll have a prayer service, a unity service, and that's how we want Noonan and Christian people to come together and show that we don't stand for this. We want you to be involved. We just don't want you downtown, and we feel like that's the best way.
You know, unfortunately, this is not an isolated issue in our nation. This has been going on. The truth is, it's been going on for a long time. And in recent months and years, it's even grown more significant. It points to a huge, not only racial divide, but a prejudicial divide in our nation, where people choose to put themselves in various categories, and we choose to look down on other people in a judgmental kind of way. And this is a very serious spiritual problem in our nation. It seems to have sort of always been around, and maybe it's going to be here till Jesus comes. But, you know, I think that this is a time for the Church of Jesus to say, that's not us. Because Jesus said in John 13, 34, and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. You know, this quality of love and community should be a defining characteristic of the body of Jesus Christ, the church. And so this is a great opportunity for us as Christians to say we don't want to have any part in being prejudiced. We don't want to have any part in any kind of racial upheaval or any kind of expression of prejudice in our land. And so I want to challenge you, and actually I'm going to share just a brief message, and then we're going to have communion together. I want to challenge us as the body of Christ to take this thing very seriously and to say, first of all, I'm going to work not to be prejudiced in my life toward whether it's race or any other thing. Race is not the only issue of prejudice in our lives. And to say, I don't want that as a part of my life. I don't want that as a part of my family. We don't want that as a part of our church. We don't want it as a part of any church because we're the body of Christ. We're going to be spending eternity together, so we better figure it out here, right, and work it out. And so, but then also to understand that this is a huge spiritual conflict between good and evil. And I'm not talking about the two groups that are going to clash. I'm talking about righteousness and evil that roams our land. Satan loves chaos. He loves upheaval. He loves racial prejudice. He loves what's going on. He loves the riots. He loves all this kind of stuff. And I think that we as believers must pray against it. I think we need to pray. We ought to fast. We ought to seek the Lord. We ought to pray together. We ought to pray separately. At school, at work, wherever you're around believers, whether they're Sunrise people or not, find other Christians between now and April 21st, and let's just start praying. Wouldn't it be awesome if God took something that Satan meant for destruction, which he does this so often, God takes this movement and uses it for good and ignites a spark in the body of Christ to pray for revival, to take a stand for love and reconciliation and community as it ought to be. And so you know where that starts? It starts with us individually, and then it moves out to us corporately, and hopefully this is happening in other churches. So why don't we say we are going to be the difference that this world needs? I know we're going to have a time of prayer at the end of our service. Anything specific you want to ask us to pray about?
I would love a thunderstorm to happen on April 21st that washes this thing out.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Hey, God's done it before. Yeah.
Other than that, please pray for the peace in our community. We are receiving hate mail at this point, so I would ask just pray for all of us that are involved in the planning of this. This thing fell into my lap about a month ago, and
I started, what you signed up for,
I started questioning why I chose my position at that point. In an effort to help our department and our city, we are trying to lead the way on this and charge through this. Your church alone has 4 members that will be directly involved in this in law enforcement. There'll be other public safety people that I know go here also. Please pray for all of our safety during the event, the safety of our community and the people, and pray for the salvation of these people that God will change their hearts.
Well, at the end of our service, I'll just tell you how we're going to do this. I'm going to share a few thoughts on this topic. And then we're going to have a time of communion. And it's actually, we're going to do different than maybe you've ever done it before here at Sunrise. Instead of being served at our places, we're going to get up and move to tables around. And our deacons and elders are going to serve us at the table. Now, we have 13 tables set up. So there's not enough room for everybody to go in the first round. We figure about maybe 15 people per table. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, if you're not at a table during the first part, could you use this time to pray for our community, to pray for Noonan, pray for Coweta County, pray for Mark and the rest of the team that's going to be working with him. You may want to do that in groups. You could do it alone, however you want to do it. But if we could use this time to pray, you may want to gather as a small group and pray. You may even want to go take communion as a small group or as a family or however you want to do it. But there's 13 tables around, so a group of 15 or so will go to the table, and then they'll go sit down, and then another group of 15 will go to the table, and they'll go sit down. And I think that will accommodate our crowd. So we'll have a period of time at the end of our service for communion and prayer, and then we'll conclude the service with a song. All right, Mark, thank you. Thanks for all you do. I am so grateful to have a godly man serving in this position. Mark is not only assistant police chief, but he's also one of our deacons, and I'm grateful. I'm just so grateful to have him part of our team. I want to ask you to find your Bibles and turn to James chapter 2. I'm going to share just a few thoughts from James chapter 2. What is the root of all of this strife? What is it? Well, it's prejudice, in a way. Prejudice runs deep in the hearts of humanity. I used to think, you know, growing up in the South, I thought it was just white people and black people. I thought there was this African-American, Caucasian-American conflict. But as I grew older, I realized that prejudice is not just that. I moved to Dallas, Texas, and it was white people and Hispanic people conflicting. I don't know what it's like up north. The truth is, prejudice runs deep, and it's not even just racial issues. Author George Aiken made this statement about it. He says, if we were to wake up some morning and find that every one of us was the same race, creed, and color, we would find some other causes for prejudice by noon. And I think he's probably right. I did find this definition for prejudice in a dictionary. It says it's an effective feeling towards a person or group member based solely on that person's group membership. In other words, I look at somebody who's part of a group and I say, I don't like that person because they're affiliated with that group. It could be that I look at somebody who's Baptist and say, I can't stand that guy because he's Baptist. You see, that's prejudice. I could look at somebody because of their color and say, because they are a part of this race, I don't like them. I prejudge them. I develop negative feelings based on that. So what does the scripture have to say about this? The Bible does address this in James chapter, the truth is, in a lot of places. But look at James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The scripture says, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. And then he's going to use an illustration dealing with wealth or finances. He says, for if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there, sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Look down in verses 8 and 9. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Notice just a few things about this. One, prejudice and faith should not coexist. It should not. It should not be a part of our culture as believers. It should not be a part of our life. He starts that out in verse 2. He says, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. Unfortunately, many people accept prejudice as normal. We just accept it as part of our life. I was reading some this week just from a psychological perspective. I was curious, wonder what psychologists have to say about prejudice. And here's one gentleman, Gordon Allport. He's actually quoted a good bit. So as a psychologist, maybe he's seen as renowned on this topic. I don't know. He says, the human mind must think with the aid of categories. Once formed, categories are the basis for normal prejudgment. We cannot possibly avoid this process. Orderly living depends upon it. When I read that, I thought, really? He's saying that the way that we are hardwired toward prejudicial thinking, that's what he's saying. He said, whenever we were born, he said, it's natural, it's normal in our community. I don't know that I agree with that. I do know that we're hardwired towards sin. And sin shows itself in so many different ways. Prejudice is one of those easy categories that sucks us in. Prejudicial thinking toward a certain group or a certain race or a certain color is basically tied to the root issue of sin. Now, the Bible does say we are born with a nature to sin. The scripture is real clear. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whenever we are born with this natural tendency to go our own way, and we find these various expressions of sin in our lives. In this particular case, prejudice seems to be real simple. We can look at someone who is not like us and decide that we are better, and actually to think poorly of them, to put them down, or to say ugly things about them, or do ugly things toward them, in a sense, builds us up. It makes us feel like we're better. It makes us feel better about ourselves. The sad thing about prejudice, there's many sad things, but here's one, it's become the acceptable sin. We have a tendency to say about our prejudice, well, you know, that's just how I am. So, I mean, does that really make it right? It's just how I am. The truth is, just how I am a sinner. That's just how I am. Does that make it right? Does that mean it's okay for me to do anything in my life just because I'm born that way? We have a tendency to excuse this behavior, and prejudice is spread wide, even within the church. I dare say that many of us in this room struggle with prejudice. Not just racial prejudice, but a lot of things. And we have a tendency to, in the area of racial prejudice especially, to say, it's just part of my family culture. It's part of our DNA. My grandparents were very prejudiced, and it's just been passed down, and so that's just how I am. And we justify our position on this topic. And we need to understand that the Scripture says that it's not right. 1 John 4:12 says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Think about this verse in relationship to us as Christians. The Bible says that while no one has actually seen God's face, of course they see evidence of God, they see the actions of God all around us. But this verse says that if we love one another, God is living within us, and His love is perfected in us. So while the world has not physically seen God's face, they see God in us as we love each other, as we relate to one another, as we go through life together, and we demonstrate community in all things. And so prejudice and faith should not coexist. We should hate prejudice just like we hate any other sin. We should run from it. We should flee from it just like anything else. And this passage of Scripture tells us that prejudice comes from an impure heart, is the bottom line. Verse 4 says, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Whenever we look at someone else and pigeonhole them into a category that we don't like, or we raise ourselves above that category, it says that we have made distinctions and we have become judges, and our motives are not pure. Now, I know it's difficult for us to view prejudice as coming from an impure heart. And I think it's because it's just so accepted. I started to say in the South, but I think it's accepted everywhere. It's so normal in our society. But verse 9 says that when we show partiality, we are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. And we need to understand this. We need to go ahead and just say, I believe the Bible, and I know that what it is saying, that when I am prejudiced towards someone else, it is wrong, and I need to repent of it. I need to get right with God, and I need to hate that sin, just like I hate every other sin in my life. So prejudice comes from an impure heart. Note the third thing, we overcome prejudice through the love of Christ. That's what this passage is pointing to us. It is saying that Christ is the difference maker in our life. The illustration of this particular passage is talking about a rich man coming into worship and a poor man coming into worship, and we treat the poor person differently than the rich person because we're prejudiced against the poor person. But you see, whenever we gave our life to Jesus, God began doing an amazing work in our life. Salvation has these three aspects that we've all experienced if you're a Christian. You see, whenever you turn from your sin and you trust Jesus as your Savior, you surrender your life to Him. We call that Christianity. That's where it begins. We call it crossing a line of faith. When that happens, the Bible says that God forgives us of all of our sins, and He saves us from this penalty of sin. Our home is in heaven. But God then begins the second aspect of salvation, this process where He's working on us every day. We call it sanctification, being made holy. God begins to change those rough edges. God begins to get rid of the mess that does not represent His character. Part of that mess is prejudice. God begins to change our heart. And we need to have a longing in our heart to be like Jesus. Jesus was not prejudiced. You remember what his critics said about Him? He was the friend of sinners. He hung out with all kinds of people. He wasn't prejudiced. He loved all people. I've got on your notes just three things that I want to challenge us to do in dealing with this topic, this issue of prejudice. Obviously, other than praying before God, asking for God to move on our city and our community and our church. But look at these three things. The first thing is simply turn. The Bible word is repent. The Scripture says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to fall on our faces before God and just be honest. God, I have a heart of prejudicial thinking. I am so sorry that when I look at a black person, a Hispanic person, a white person, when I see a rich person, when I see someone who has these things or whatever your issue is, God, I am so sorry. Jesus died for that. He had to come to the cross and die because of my heart, because of my leaning, because of my preference. I don't care what my family led me to think or believe. It's wrong, and I am so sorry. We need to turn. We need to repent of this sin. We need to hate it because it is destroying our lives. It is destroying our family. It's destroying our community. And it's destroying churches all over America today. Turn. I love Acts 3:19. It says, therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Think about that verse in relationship to what's going on. That times of refreshing would come. Do you realize if the body of Christ would get on our faces before Almighty God and repent of our sins, times of refreshing would come upon His church? You realize what would happen in our lives as family, as church, as Christians? Times of refreshing. So turn. Here's the second thing, ask. We just need to ask. We need to go to God and say, God, I need your help here. Could you help me see other people as you see them? Could you help me see people as those for whom Christ died instead of putting them in some pigeonhole of color or economic or whatever our areas are? Could you help me overcome that? Could you help me see the world as you see them, people who need a Savior? You know, on the inside, we're all the same color. The reality is Jesus died for all people, regardless. We need to ask God for help. I put on your notes the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. And everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. We ought to say, God, help me live this out. I want to do that. I want my life to reflect you. But you know what else we need to ask? Because I want to tell you, some of us, in raising our children, we have passed our prejudices down to our children. We need to ask God to help us change the family tree. Okay, so maybe our grandparents were incredibly prejudiced. We need to ask God to help us make some changes. Maybe as a family, we could establish some rules and say, all right, family, in this home, we're not going to be prejudiced. And we're going to help each other. If we ever start saying things around our table that is expression of prejudice, we're going to call each other out on it. We want to hate it. We want to hate it in our family, and we're not going to tolerate it. You know, we ought to do that in our small groups too. Can you imagine that in a small group? Calling each other out on being prejudiced? That's kind of biblical, isn't it? We ought to do that. It doesn't honor the Lord. We want to help each other be more like Christ, right? As a church family, can you imagine if we actually helped each other be like Jesus? What a novel idea. I think that's why God called us in His family. Why He called us to be together so that we could help each other grow in Christ-likeness. So let's ask God to help us with that. Look at this third thing, seek. I realize you have to write a little more to expand upon these words. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to seek a friend from a group with whom you have formerly struggled with prejudice. Do you have a prejudice toward people who are Hispanic? Why don't you begin asking God to help you make a friend of someone from Mexico, you know, someone with Hispanic culture? You have a problem with African Americans or white Americans? You have a problem with Polish Americans? I don't know what your issues are, but whatever your issues are, why don't you say, God, I want to make a friend with someone in that group that I previously looked down at because it doesn't honor you. And I want to love them. I want to tell you, it'll change your heart. It'll change your life. Why not? I think it's time for the Church of Jesus to go to war against sin. Because it's not honoring the Lord Jesus. And if we're going to pray about this thing coming up April 21st, you know where it starts? It starts in our own heart. We got to get right with God before we ever pray for our community and pray for others. You know, Jesus used that illustration. He said, you got to take the log out of your own eye before you worry about the splinter in somebody else's. So it starts in our own heart, and then we move out and we pray for our world. I can't think of a better thing to express community than communion. And we're going to have that. I've set up exactly how that's going to be done. I'm going to ask the band, if you would come and join me. They're going to sing a song. Toward the end of that song, I'm going to ask our deacons and our elders if they'll just move to the tables and be prepared. And then we'll begin moving toward the tables and taking communion. I don't think it'll be chaotic, but it will be very different than how we've done it. If you're not sharing in communion, if you could just use this time at your seats in prayer. All right? I'm going to ask you if you'll join me in prayer, and then we're going to listen and be challenged to take our issues, our sins, our lives to the table before the Lord and let Him meet us there. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word that it is clear. It does deal with a lot of issues that we're struggling with in our own lives. I pray now that as we move into this time of communion, that You would meet us here in this moment. I ask, Holy Spirit, that You would settle over this place and You would call us to prayer, call us to get right with You, but then call us to intercede for our community, for our law enforcement, our first responders, everyone that's going to be involved in this ordeal on the 21st. So, Father, meet us in this time. We surrender it to You. In the name of Jesus, we pray.